Did you get a car?
I did get a car. I got a rabbit.
A rabbit?
You bought a Volkswagen?
Yes, sir.
No, he actually just bought a rabbit.
No, it's just a rabbit with a saddle.
He tied it to a sled.
JD, I don't mean...
Kill it in less than a day?
JD, I sort of don't mean to be insensitive here, but wouldn't you have
to,
like...
dinner then, but still.
Wouldn't you more put on a rabbit than get into a rabbit?
No, man, I got plenty of room in there.
My parents had a rabbit when I was, like, a little kid.
It's roomy.
Because, like, I've been in a few rabbits in my life.
Dude,
and
I was in the passenger seat.
I would tell that to people. That's gross.
My wife wanted to drive it before we bought it, and...
Well, I would hope.
Well, she's not going to drive it very much. It's my car. But
I hope you give it a test drive before you drive it.
No, I drove it, too. She wanted to drive it, is what I'm saying. So I sit in the passenger seat. It's one of the first vehicles I've ever, like, sat in that my legs didn't hit the dashboard and stuff.
A Volkswagen Rabbit.
Yes, sir.
This makes no sense. JD, did you lose like three quarters of yourself somewhere?
It is like a TARDIS, I tell you. It is like a TARDIS. You get inside that thing.
What year? What year?
Like 2009, I think.
I gotta look this up.
Dude, I'm telling you.
No, I have to look this up because my brain will not reconcile this information.
I know. Dude, when they told me, like, the first time, I looked at a rabbit the last time. That I was looking for a vehicle. And,
Two-door.
Okay. And they were like, you know, you should try this. You might fit in it. And I'm like, that's really small. I don't know. And sat the thing.
It's probably bigger
than
it looks.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, now here's the only problem I have so far is that the shifter, it's automatic. And, you know, you put it into drive. Except when you put it in a drive, if you slide the shifter over to the right, it goes into manual, and you can upshift and downshift from there. And when I make a left turn, my leg bumps it, and it'll bump it into manual.
Oh, shit.
And so it doesn't immediately downshift, but, like, I bumped it, and then was at a red light, and then went to take off.
Shit.
Shift, and I was like, what the fuck? Oh, damn it. And fixed it. So now I'm aware of it, so it's not a big deal, but yeah.
I'm looking at, I pulled up an image of the inside of it. I can see how you do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can kind of see how you'd probably be able to fit in that.
Yeah, that's a classic rabbit, that picture here. But
well, that's the kind we had. We had, I think, three of them total.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I recognize that.
Yeah. That's old
rabbit. Fucking stick shift, man.
Yeah. But no.
You should have got a Volkswagen thing.
I would have a Volkswagen thing if I could. Also a square back.
Yeah. But no, it's pretty nice. I
need to come down there again and
so
need
it's
to have.
Like this, I imagine.
I need to come down there again, Mickey, and you need to have Russ come over, and me and him can talk about what Volkswagens are sexy and not.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one, and it's a dark gray. So I really like the color. I want to get the window. I'd like to get the windows tinted, and I need to get my.
Is that legal in Oklahoma?
Yeah, a certain amount you can get them tinted. So.
You should put Itasha Robo graphics all over it.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be epic. Amanda would divorce me. But
You know, the way he says that doesn't exactly seem like a downside.
Yes, it is. I love it. Especially because I put stickers on a car. But I bet you could order that kit, and that would be awesome.
Somebody should sell that.
You could probably just import a regular Itasha Robo and just drive it to work.
Right. It'd probably be cheaper than ordering the sticker kit.
Yeah.
You get two of them and use them like rollerblades.
Nice. Good one.
Probably just laying around.
Yeah. Oh, man. So yeah, so I felt a lot better. It was great. I just like got up and got ready and drove to work and then drove home.
It's a nice feeling when you don't have a car for a while.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
As if I don't have enough JD.
Hey, Mickey.
No, I don't want that to be an intro quote.
Paladin.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You're really hot, but...
Ken.
Oh. Oh, my.
JD Church.
It's a big bull.
And Fort Max.
I'm not responsible for Phil Hartman being dead, at least.
Unless XV is opposed.
XV opposes everything. Unfortunately, nobody ever listens, no matter how right I always am.
This is true.
I'm sorry, what?
Of course, the one wrong thing I've done with my life is starting Superhero Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mistake that just won't go away, no matter how much I wash my hands.
I tried really hard to destroy it last week, apparently. And
the blood won't come off.
And amazingly...
So did nature.
Amazingly, JD, Paladin, of all people, is the one who rescued the show last week.
I know. What's up with that?
I'm just like...
Well, rescued is a strong word.
I'm astonished by that.
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
Paladin totally stepped up and became host of the show for a week.
How much is 25,000?
Right now, 2,500 yen would be about 2,650, something like that.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, with Mandarake, there's also a 500 yen service charge and the shipping.
Yeah.
And you have to be...
Wonder how much
that... Mandarake only uses tracked shipping now, so you have to be home to sign for it.
Oh, that's what... I mean, the post office is literally, like, a block from my house, so...
Yeah, I'm just saying that... May
and
or
sometimes if someone is home to sign for it, sometimes they're playing video games so loud they don't hear the doorbell ring. And then you got to jump through a bunch of hoops.
I don't know who that someone might be, but can't imagine.
Yeah, because, you know, JD's video game system got broken when somebody broke into his house and stole it.
Oh, no, I had to replace that, dude. It's fully been replaced. So.
Look, shut up.
I'm still waiting on, like, my... you know, my, like, payment from the dude that stole my stuff, but...
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, he hasn't even been formally, like, found guilty yet.
Yeah. If he had to steal your stuff, he brought it to the money to pay you to begin with.
Yeah, I know. But the court might compel him to, you know? He might... All that money he's going to make, he's going to get making license plates.
Well, that's the thing, though. The court can rule... that he has to pay you some money, but there's not a lot they can do to force him to produce that money and give it to you.
Right. But don't they, like, make money when they work in prison, and then some of that can, like...
Well, and at the wonderful rate of 32 cents an hour...
Sure.
You will be fixed right up.
Don't get me wrong. I am not basing my hopes and dreams... on getting money back from this dude.
Mm-hmm. So, before the show started, there was some talk of Kamen Rider Wizard, and when I joined the Skype call and heard that, I immediately hung up and then tweeted of the experience, and judging by the number of retweets and the one favorite so far that it's gotten, I'm thinking that's not an unpopular position.
No.
Especially since, one of the people who retweeted was Ezreal Newtype from Overtime. Also, Magenta retweeted that. So,
yeah, that's sort of.
I'm kind of thinking everyone is sick of the show at this point, except for JD.
I think we're all ready for it to be done. Even those of us who are still watching it, like me, and yet
you have to wait an extra week for it to finish now.
Oh, God,
because it's not airing next week.
Yeah.
Neither is Kyoryuger.
Well, and that's kind of... I mean, I kind of expected that because it's like... There's... Because what? Is it... Did we... What is the final on the pronunciation? Is it Gamu or...
Gaim.
Gaim.
Okay, G-A-I-M. No U.
So
Gaim. Have you ever heard of Elgaim?
No.
Yeah.
Rhymes with lime.
God.
It's a Tomino show.
Okay.
Of course it
so,
is.
So,
well,
Gaim
that's not
doesn't
necessarily
start
a death
until
sentence.
October.
King Gainer was pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, what?
So with Gaim not starting until October, we know we've got to get, obviously, all the way through September, and we're not even through August yet, so...
See, you think they would have waited until Wizard was done before the preemption? And since you got that space and that time, but no.
No.
Wizard's not important enough.
No.
Clearly.
No. So, yeah, so obviously we've got a little bit to wait on the... you know, for Wizard to be done, which I'm watching it, and I'm just like, why can't this be over?
It's like, why am I watching it?
See, yeah, I know. That's the first thing that occurs to me, and then I'm like, well, because I'm a sucker, and now that I've started, I can't.
Yeah, JD's kind of like this, how Paladin was with Ghost Ager. Yeah. And it's going to be it's going to be the thing that forever afterward, we won't ever let you hear the end of.
Yeah, well... That's
what makes it better, though, is who made Paladin keep reviewing it?
Well, I mean, if he's watching it, you know, it's kind of a waste of his effort otherwise.
We're going to make JD review...
Yeah, but see, I'm not even getting to review Wizard. I'm like...
Yeah, that's because I hate that show too f***ing much to actually let
even
anyone...
give it any credit.
Yeah. So... Also, I care more about the effort Paladin expends than the effort you expend, so...
I noticed that.
Snap.
One of us should be insulted by that.
So, I'm not like sure which one, though.
Yeah. Mm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, last week was the Pacific Rim job. And while I haven't actually listened to that episode myself, I understand it was pretty good. So, Paladin, thanks for, you know, stepping up and... taking over when JD was a total bitch, and, you know, Fort Max and Ken for hanging out as much as they could considering Ken's weather conditions. And
yeah, that was not fun.
And as always, Don was ready to step in as a guest star.
And I wasn't there.
Even if we could only trap him.
And I was...
Barricading Giga.
Yeah, them too.
That's why I'm here tonight, even though I am still in pain, because it would just be too... The pain of XV giving me shit for 2 weeks in a row, it would just be a
different kind of pain.
Yeah.
And see, this also proves
you can get medicine for one of them.
You totally could. Actually, you can get medicine for both, but that's not the point. You totally could have done the show last week. This proves it.
Well, we can get medicine for you too, but then we'd all go to jail.
Damn.
Right.
You can tell that we've kind of been bottling some stuff up for the last couple of weeks.
Shit, man.
You know. So, you know, I went to SharkTacon, the unofficial Charlotte Transformers convention.
Is there an official Charlotte Transformers convention?
Well, unofficial Transformers convention that happens to be in Charlotte. It's just a matter of the order of the words. Although I guess technically it would be Charlotte's official Transformers convention, but semantics, you know. So I made one particular purchase while I was there that is pretty much perfectly suited to my personality.
Oh, good.
Is it something orange?
Unfortunately, no. I wish it would have been, but I didn't really have a lot of opportunity to be choosy. Does anyone want to take a guess what I bought?
A flog?
A dick.
A bucket of dicks.
Nexus Maximus.
I don't think a flog is something you can buy. It's not actually a thing. It's an action that you take against someone or, you know, have committed on you.
It's an
thing.
Actual object.
Yeah. It's both a noun and a verb.
Yes, okay. It is. Mickey and I are both like, oh, yes, it is.
I like how in sync you guys were with that.
Yeah, it's amazing how similarly their minds function.
Yes.
But no, I traveled 500 miles each way, and while I was in Charlotte, the most notable thing I purchased was an office chair.
Wow. Well, hey.
Why does that not You know, it's like I would never have guessed that.
But it surprises me none.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
I only paid $6 for
it. Why did you drive to Charlotte to buy one and not just Nashville?
Well, I saw one in Nashville a few weeks ago, but it was $15, and I wasn't sure at the time it would fit in my back seat.
Huh. There has to be a joke in there somewhere.
Wait, was it assembled or not?
Assembled, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, okay.
That clears the picture a little bit.
But yeah, this one only cost $6, so, you know, kind of offset the gas a little bit.
A little bit. Oh, well, 500 miles.
You wow. know, that's $11 I didn't spend on chair that I was able to put into the gas tank.
Yeah.
Wow.
It makes a difference.
I mean, yeah.
Tell yourself that.
Wow.
Well, actually, the gas mileage on the car I drove worked out really well. It did better than 30 miles a gallon the whole way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, I notice my car does a lot better if I'm traveling at a great distance than...
Oh, man, I'm loving that's why I'm loving this Rabbit. I'm getting, like, 20 in-city. I haven't even really done much highway driving.
That's if you took that thing on one of the interstates going to, Tulsa or, around Dallas, I'm sure you'd get all kinds of gas mileage. Fort Knox can help you plan out a route for that.
Yeah.
You understand why you get better gas mileage on the highway, don't you?
You asking me or someone else?
In general.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you always get better gas mileage highway than city.
Yeah.
They actually advertise for that fact in car commercials now.
But it's because it takes more gas to accelerate than to maintain.
Well, exactly. And also you're spending half the time idling, wasting gas, too.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, that's why, like...
Stopping and starting.
Also, if you have an automatic transmission car, you're wasting engine power shifting gears up and down as you're starting and stopping.
Yes, but manual.
Yeah,
that's for cavemen.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. If you have an automatic transmission, if you have manual, it's, the automatic shifting thingy that takes power away from the...
You can automatic call it a car shifting thingy.
I used to know what it was called, it's a thing attached to the engine that gets power to the transmission to shift gears, and, whether you're shifting or not, it's taking some power.
Right.
But, seriously,
20 years ago, my dad told me about
learning to drive stick. That's all I gotta say.
20 years ago, my dad told me about this great idea he had for an electric car that just used a motor that always ran it. It was basically a hybrid electric that, it had a 4-stroke engine that ran at one speed all the time. So it would be really efficient, and then that would power the generator, and then you'd actually use the electric for the car. And I was like, that's brilliant, Dad. And he's like, yeah, nobody would go for it. And then about, 5-10 years ago, like, hybrid cars start coming out, and I'm like, we could have been rich!
Well, you could have been, except nobody buys hybrid cars.
Well, yeah. No, they do.
Rich douchebags.
That's what hipsters do. All hipsters buy hybrids and stuff.
Yeah, but they were already doing it before it was cool.
Right.
Before it was mainstream.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll figure out a car fueled by hipsters, they'll be rich again.
Totally.
And help society at that.
Well, if you could fit a car with a giant hamster wheel. Now, I'm not sure if you would utilize the hamster wheel itself as a generator to produce electricity for the car, or just have it contacting the ground.
Start with a van and work your way down, I guess.
Like a white panel van?
Sure.
But wouldn't that be more for collecting children? Than hipsters.
Oh.
You can fit a lot of them on the wheel, right? Just let them all run together.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Now, the problem with trying to capture hipsters is you need to keep changing out your bait because once enough people have heard of it, they won't go for it anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait a minute.
But as long as you never let the hipster
car, isn't it?
As long as you never let the hipsters go where word can spread of the bait you're using, wouldn't it always be new and, you know, innovative? And
yeah, so definitely don't put it on Reddit or as long as you can keep it off of Reddit. Only talk about it on Google Plus.
But Reddit is the internet start page.
No, MySpace.
MySpace, totally.
Okay, so do we have any news this week, or are we just kind of bullshitting instinctively because there's nothing?
There is absolutely nothing this week.
That is just how on the ball we are.
Nothing.
Yeah, there was so much. Hey, I got the Forza.
Wow, there really is not anything.
Yes.
Yeah, there's not even shows this week.
Closest thing we have to news is I got a figure art from a movie that's been out for 6 months.
Oh, I've seen some new Power Rangers merch over the past week.
Oh, yeah, I think there was something about the Megaforce Ultra Ranger 6-pack with Vrak coming out also at Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Mega Bloks gift set at Toys R Us.
Damn, I've never seen any new Power Rangers.
That actually got released.
Yeah. I've seen the gumball sword from Megaforce.
Oh, good.
Except there's no gumball machine. Now it's just a dragon header that spins.
Oh.
So, whatever. And there's a new 12-inch Megaforce Red Ranger with a gold chrome chest thing, which is, you know, those oversized kid toy type of deals.
The armor that goes with the sword.
No, it's not the armor. It's just the angel crest is made of gold chrome instead of gold paint.
Wow.
Okay. They really thought there was enough value to release that again?
Well, you know, probably if they would have had time, that would have been an exclusive at Comic-Con, but it would have been real gold.
And the remote control Megazord is out, too.
Does it have helicopter blades on its shoulders?
No, but it fires 15 missiles.
Oh, I the what do they call that? Something fire?
Ass fire Megazord.
Yeah, that's it.
Ass fire Megazord.
big like cube box though, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that around. It looks just as stupid as it sounds.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Megaforce.
Or at least Ghostager.
Megaforce is still better than Ghostager, so.
All 9 episodes of it. So, yeah. Megaforce premiered in February, right?
Yes.
Premiered in February. Here we are almost at the end of August, and only the first 9 episodes of the show have aired.
And how long have we been staying in October?
Since, what, April?
Yeah.
Since 9 weeks after the show premiered?
I had to question if this hurt sales.
Apparently it's not, because everything's selling.
Well, except in my area.
And new merchandise keeps coming out, like you just said.
Right.
Yep.
Stuff has not been cycling over like it did in Samurai. Like, I'm still stuck with, like, first wave shit.
That's because there hasn't really been much of a second wave yet.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how Power Rangers and other Bandai lines would work if there were other Bandai lines anymore.
Ben 10?
No. you know, you get your spring assortment and your fall assortment. The fall assortment tends to show up in the middle of summer.
I guess Hasbro kind of has it spoiled a bit.
Well, if you think back to, like, Beast Wars, where you would get 2 assortments at every price point per year.
Yeah.
Sales were better then.
Well, I suppose in a way. I mean, you know, you only have like 12 toys to sell in 1 year. It's not hard to sell all of them.
Yeah.
I just tend to recall Beast Wars had a pretty high turnover rate when I worked at Toys R Us.
Yeah, probably did.
People bought the shit out of them, and Transformers, they seem to hang around shelves quite a bit now.
Well, yeah, everybody has Bumblebee.
Oh, what Power Rangers series was up against Beast Wars?
Of course, there's a lot more TFs now than there were.
Well, 96 through 2001. So that would be...
That's what? Turbo through Time Force?
Zeo through Time Force, yeah.
But Power Rangers kind of kicked Transformers' ass back in, 93.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's something I've been thinking about. You know, next week is the anniversary of Power Rangers premiering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've done Day of the Dumpster for Power Playback before, but I think we should do something Power Rangers next week to, you know, mark the occasion.
Sure.
So keep thinking about that.
I was about to say, how about the episode some people sometimes confuse for being the first one aired, which is the Pudgy Pig episode.
Now, see, I used to always think that was the second episode aired because I didn't realize that first week that they were doing daily airings.
Mm-hmm. That was the first one I saw.
Ah. But I hate that episode.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, that's never thought this before.
Well, now we the return could... episode where Bulk Skull meet Pudgy Pig.
Oh, God, no. Where they just reuse all the same physics.
That would be kind of awesome, actually. Season 2. That wasn't even Season 2, though. That was Season 1.
And yeah. The four episodes that was a mix of reused stuff and stuff that from ZooRanger that they hadn't used yet.
Yeah.
Before Zoo 2 stuff kicked in.
Remember when I was watching that as a kid, I was like, wait a second, I've seen half of this episode before. And then came Season 2.
Okay, I kind of want to do this now, because it sounds like interesting things to talk about around it. What episode number is that? What episode number is that, Fort Max?
No, 40 I don't know. Something. Early 40s.
What episode? I wasn't listening.
The second Pudgy Pig episode.
Oh, okay.
We're doing this episode backwards. We already did it.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
So, up next is Power Playback.
Because there is absolutely no news.
Oh.
We established this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody was paying attention. Want to
hear about my... No? Okay.
41.
Anyone who wasn't here last week, I'm buying the complete Gaia memory selection.
Oh, my.
What?
The complete selection Gaia memory set coming out.
Buying?
Nobody.
Oh, my sounded like I...
But I'm asking, is anyone here planning on buying it?
Oh.
How much is it?
No,
like $700.
Near 68,000 yen.
Oh, that's only like $7 of memory.
Yeah, I need my kidney.
I mean, that's higher than the prices in the capsule machines.
But they're not capsule memories, right?
No,
but they're also mostly dopant memories, aren't they? So there wouldn't be any light anyway.
Well, the majority is dopant memories anyway, so.
Your mom's a dopant memory.
Yeah.
The point, though, is the difference between a capsule memory and a candy toy or deluxe memory is whether it has a light or not. So...
Or if you have to apply these stickers yourself. Oh, wait, you have to do that with the candy ones anyway.
Shit. Yeah, I was going to say...
I'm just thinking of Ranger keys.
But since dopant memories don't have lights, they're basically as good as, you know, capsule memories.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go.
But do they just cycle through the sounds or what?
I don't think anyone knows yet.
Why didn't you buy one for...
Buy the set and let us know.
You can give it to me.
Keep one, sell the rest. It couldn't be that hard to unload them, right?
Probably not most of them.
No. It's amazing that that still has traction.
Well, it just proves how good of a gimmick
it
is.
It's just like almost 5 years later now.
No, it's not. You shut up.
Wow.
Anyway, it's only like 3 years later.
Too late.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll just keep waiting for Kamen Rider Double 10 years after.
Would be nice.
It'll be a couple years from now.
Oh yeah, the Hurricanger thing came out, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and also Bluefin is carrying the both of the Hurricanger 2-packs.
Yeah.
That's
Which
great
is okay
for
if anyone wanted those.
Yeah, that's great for the people who care about Hurricanger merchandise.
Totally.
I don't know, I kind of
like
want
eight of those people.
I kind of want the Go Rogers.
No word yet on if there's going to be a Shuriken jersey pack
for us.
What? I heard Fort Max, but not Paladin.
Typical.
Yeah, Paladin's audio doesn't seem to be doing that well this week.
Oh, crap.
But better this week than last week. One more failure last week.
I suppose that's true.
One more failure last week, and, you know, there just wouldn't have been anything at all.
This is true. I inherited, like, JD's weather and Mickey's audio quality at times.
God.
And XV's connection.
Yep. At least it's all on one person and not spread around, I guess.
Interesting that it all went for you, though, by default.
Yeah.
Each one of these factors found itself homeless for a week, and so they all independently decided to target the weakest member of the group.
We're like the sickly gazelle.
Yeah, Ken is our sickly gazelle.
Makes me glad I wasn't recording.
Well, that would have worked about as good as me recording and hosting the call.
Well,
which is to say, not at all.
Unless we have Fort Max.
How often do you hear that?
Wow. Sad admission.
But speaking of...
Not often.
Fort Max, is there any status on subbing of the Hurricane Jersey special?
It is being worked on.
So I guess, did that win the vote?
Yes.
I figured it would. It's the newest thing.
So I like that, though. It's like it's almost like he's learned. Because in the past, when we asked about stuff, his general response is, I don't know.
So I only know because Magenta mentioned that there was a script for it in the Dropbox folder.
Ah. So his response now is, it's being worked on with no other qualification.
That's kind of it is kind of vague when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's Fort Max.
Shinkinger is being worked on, but
yeah, exactly. See, step up, right? Because he says that, and we're like, "Oh, okay." We don't question it any further. Like, great,
and the Blu-ray is downloading. You. So,
hooray!
Even
that's great. I'm just going to get the 480p though.
Go on.
And we lose Paladin.
Oh, he said he'd be right back.
Yeah.
Try to pay attention a little bit, Fort Max.
Yep. Stay with us.
It's a chat.
It's there for a reason.
Yep. Yeah. Also, I've got a friend in Japan that was trying to find an actual Japanese movie to go see. So I'm trying to get her to go see Gatchaman, but I don't know if that's going to work out.
When does that come out?
Like another week, I think.
Oh,
like
wow.
Next week.
Really? Damn.
Yeah.
And only 8 months until it comes out on home video.
And that's what I was telling. I was trying to describe her what it was like, and it's like, and I am going to be waiting for like 2 years.
That wait for Kenshin to come out was terrible.
God. I know. So I'm trying to get her to go see it at least so I can see what she thinks, but. I should get Michael to go see. Oh, that's another thing that happened. What is the train mecha called from GoGo 5?
The Super Train Megazord.
V for the fact Paladin's not here.
Yeah, I know. I need someone to throw that in. But,
it seemed like something was missing.
He found one for like $20 somewhere in Japan.
Cheap Grandliner.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did it have the antennas?
I have no idea. He just put a picture of the box, but I mean, it was in the box, so.
Okay, let's see if this works.
Ah, so, that's some other, actually.
Does the whole deal, like, type in and say that he's going to leave, and then, like, so we can just be cool about it, and then when he comes back, he announces it, so. Professional podcasting at its finest.
What show do you think you're on?
I know.
Obviously not Fanboy Versus.
Nope. that shows on some hiatus.
Right.
Yep.
Hiatus.
Hiatus.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, it's like $20 for this for the train thing. I was like, and when are you sending that to me? But apparently he wanted to keep it. So I was like, damn it.
Right.
Now he needs to get the other mecha to go with it.
I know.
And the train bay.
Oh, shit.
Well, they're even in Japan, there wasn't a deluxe train bay, was there?
There wasn't a deluxe. They never. There was never even plans for a deluxe one, but it's...
Yeah.
It's kind of like the, Zenith Carrier Zord from the year before.
Yeah, it comes with miniature versions of the trains. Yeah.
Completely unpainted, much like the ones with the Japanese Zenith Carrier Zord.
I'm trying to remember if Toy Fair that one year had one scaled for the deluxes or
no,
the
it,
small
it had
one
the,
on display.
It had the same one that Japan got.
Of course, that still never came out here.
Yeah. And, of course, never had a sign of the add-on for the Max Liner.
Right.
And the same thing for the Brachiozord Naba Ranger.
Though,
there were
that
apparently
never happened,
prototypes
even in
of
Japan.
A full-scale one that never came out.
Well, yeah, that never got beyond prototype stage.
Which is weird considering it's such an early mecha in the series.
But just imagine how huge a deluxe one would be. You know, that's like end-of-line thing right there.
Yeah.
We'll
obviously
find out in October when they release Bragigas.
Toei was not quite thinking there.
Well, Bandai more.
Toei and Bandai, really.
So, Garo was not out in time for last week's show, correct?
Right.
No, it wasn't.
So we have two.
I'm actually kind of glad it wasn't because I'm glad
these two do play great.
Last week's episode.
18 and 19 then, right?
God.
Yes.
Last week's episode was like...
It's funny because I saw everybody suddenly reacting to it. I was like, "Wow, I wonder why." What's getting everybody so worked up? So the first thing I did when I got home that night is I watched. I was like,
"It's like, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is worse. Oh, this is awful. Oh my god."
Okay,
it's like
so
layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of holy f***ing.
And then the best time ever. And then the best time ever is like for 18. Over time, they didn't get the non-Mux version out. So we had to wait an extra amount of time for that, the regular version of 18. And then it's like, as soon as I finished 18, 19 went up with non-Mux version. I was like, okay, thank you.
Not really.
So, JD, why don't you talk about last week's episode?
18.
Okay, God, last week's episode. Wow, I should have watched it more recently.
They start by going to the, Kanashiro.
Yeah, pace yourself, Ken. You got other things to do this week.
Oh, no, actually, there's one thing I did want to mention, though. And it almost made me jump. It's the theme song.
Oh.
And it just suddenly cuts out. I'm like, what the f***?
Oh, yeah. When it just, like, suddenly cut it.
Yeah, that was your first clue that this episode is going to get f***ed up.
Yeah, this
okay,
is going to
okay,
be
so,
bad.
Okay, so what do you think? Do you think that was just, a directing choice to startle the audience, or was it like, okay, we've got like 20 extra seconds we cannot possibly cut from this episode, how about we just jump right in the middle of the theme song?
Actually, no, because
I think they might have rationalized it like that, yeah.
No, I actually think, because the theme song only cuts out at the very end, there's only like missing 5 seconds, it's just where the part where it shouts, Garo!
Yeah, I think it was more for effect.
Getsu f*** with you.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah,
it was effective, no doubt.
So what, we're back at the place, right? We're back at the home base.
Yeah.
And
we're back at the place with the thing, and then...
We're back at the home base, and Barai is all f***ed up, and they're like, well, what the hell? We didn't save anybody. We got a whole family killed. Yeah, this kind of sucks. And but they did manage to get they figure out where
Tose.
Tose Yeah. Find out where Tosei and his minions are held up. And they're like, all right, well, let's go kick their ass.
And murder them.
And it's the ring. I never can remember the ring. It's
Daruba.
Daruba. He's kind of like, you might want to wait for Bri. And they're like, no. we're going to go kick their ass now.
Before anybody else dies.
Yeah, before anybody else dies, we're going to go make sure that we kick some ass and get this taken care of. So they go running over to the building. They're like standing out of the front of the building. There's no one there. And they're
no
like,
security at all.
No security, nothing. And they're like, this is probably bad, right? And they're like,
oh, he's like, this is a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably
bad. I think they even said so. It's like, this is a trap. Like,
yeah. And he's like, yeah, I don't care, though. He's in there. So let's go kick his ass. And they're full of piss and vinegar. They're just ready.
Well, this is one of the best parts.
So they go running in there, and they're like sneaking around. They jump in the building, and Dude Bro is in there. He's like, sup? Welcome, you dead.
It's like this. I had to mention, like, Tosei's actor was so subdued earlier in the series.
Oh, he's great.
But he just loses his shit here. It's great.
Oh, man, it's great. And so they're like, so he starts, you know, mocking him for a minute, just kind of laughing at him. And
it's like,
and,
hey, you're a sniper. You just jam those arrows.
Okay, I got to get there. So first off, is he mocking them first before they do the doll thing? I can't remember.
A little bit before the horoscope comes out, but most of it's after they do the first big reveal of the episode.
Yeah, because that's why they... Okay, so he starts like, okay, here, you're welcome to your death. You guys are stupid. And they're like, okay. So they pull out the little doll thing, do the spinny thing. Nothing.
Yeah, it's the horoscope, JD. It has a proper name.
For us, like, here?
No. So they spin it again. Nothing. Yep. And he just starts laughing because he's like, he thought I was a whore. No.
Nope. I'm just an asshole.
I love his look, like, on Takeru's face especially, because he's just, like, looking back and forth. Like,
but we got it. And he's like, yeah, and you can't kill me because I'm human, huh? Huh. Yep. And it's great because it's, and of course, it's like, they already knew he wasn't, like, a regular horror.
Yeah.
So
he's a magic whore, of course.
So he's got to be a magic whore, and he's not a magic whore either. And they're like,
and this is kind of great because it's like one of the things that they always have mentioned in Garo is that they only kill whores. They can't kill humans,
right?
Which in this case, moving to bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Now like, hold the phone a second. They can't kill them. They're not physically able to, or they just choose not to. Like,
they're not allowed to.
It's against their order.
It's like the Batman thing.
Yeah, it's like there's an episode in the original series where Koga comes across this like guy transporting a dead body, and it's like can't do anything about it.
Yeah, because basically it's like. The first time they decide to act to kill a human, they stop being what they were intended for, and they just start becoming, you know, murderers.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very black and white view of what they're doing.
Well, the Japanese, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but it's
so
also
then...
like this ancient organization, and they have all these...
Rules, yeah.
Rules that are not necessarily great rules, which does get addressed in various... points in the previous series, so
yeah.
So Tosei then starts systematically going through and mocking every single one of them. You know, he's like up to Takeru and he's like, oh yeah, you mean your little slut like in the flower shop? Yeah, totally. Yeah, we know about her.
It's great because like Takeru starts laughing with him and then he's like about to like just deck him before the Ryuga stops him.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, dude.
And then he goes up to Augury. And he's like, dude, you're part of that like ancient order of archers, and starts laughing. He's like, what the f*** are you laughing at? He's like, you got like a sniper, but then you just give all your arrows and you just like jab them into him, like ah.
You know what the awesome. What the funny thing is then?
Exactly what
like,
we said.
Yeah, like, he's us.
Yeah, it was so great because it's like exactly what the audience was thinking. It's like brilliant, but yeah,
it's funny because we had such a long conversation on that too, and then he could just come
it
in and like
the show referenced it because it made it feel like okay, that is what they were intending.
Yeah,
you know? A little bit of that in there. It's like it's Prego. It's in there, you know.
Yeah,
but
I thought that was Ragu.
Right, that's probably right.
Some kind of bus.
Oh, it's all the same shit.
Anyway, well, yeah. So basically they're like, well, we're f***ing. So he's like, okay. And you're coming with me. So
they come with him.
So they go with him, and they get lowered down this, I guess, like,
platform. Well, you forgot the part with Enho.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's that was a little creepy.
Yeah, he, like, talks about how he selected her and then makes out with her. That was a little weird.
Little rapey.
Makes out with his demonic puppet woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little creepy. Yeah, this dude is in the head for sure.
So who is that taunting? Ryuga or Rian?
Yes.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that was both. That's what you call a twofer. So they get lowered down this platform, and apparently underneath the city is the ruins of, because I'm paraphrasing things that we learn over the course of like a few minutes here, but
yeah,
Dome City was built on an ancient green screen ground.
Yeah, a green screen burial ground.
Green screen burial ground. Yeah, is this
now it really feels like Garo.
Yeah,
and now this is ancient Makai City underneath the main city. That's full of like all kinds of Makai artifacts and stuff, and that's where he's found this the seeds and stuff, I guess.
Not only is it underground, but there's also trees and a blue sky.
Yeah, well
you see like the blue sky is paneled, so it's obviously fake, but it's like that little detail.
Yeah. A hollow earth, you know. Anyway.
It's fake, it looks fake, but it almost seems intentional how fake it looks.
Right. So
they're in a Dyson sphere.
They're in it, and it sucks. Anyway, so no, that's different kind of dice. Anyway, it's on a ball. So basically, it gets squared off, 3-on-3, and then they send Rian after Tosei. And basically a huge, huge, insanely huge fight ensues.
This is about half the episode.
All in daylight, too. Or
and
at
all
least
in
synthetic
daylight.
Daylight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really great untransformed fight, I mean, that goes on here. So I can't even do it justice by talking about it.
Yeah. One good thing, though, which points to an obvious thing we've mentioned as a possibility before, is that where Sanchi tells Ryuga he'll show him what it means to be a knight. It's like, oh, that's on the nose there, since his horror form looks like a Makai knight.
Yeah, they still haven't fully addressed that, but that does seem to be the case.
Where they're headed, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll never be mentioned again.
Well, no, this isn't Wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do something interesting with this.
So, just big fight sequence at this part.
I also like how Takeru like has none of the qualms that Ryuga had about trying to just fucking kill Enho.
Yeah, he's fighting Enho, and he's basically like, "No, I'm gonna slay you." He's like, "No, no one is here that actually gives a shit about you, so I am gonna fucking kill you."
Well, yeah, and they broke the obvious fight pairings too.
Yes,
yeah, to its benefit.
Yeah, I mean, well, in those two senses, in a couple of those senses, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, Rian runs off, and she goes into the statue, I guess, or one of those places.
Yeah, the statue.
And she finds this little girl there, and this girl's like, "Oh, hey, can you sing?"
Oh, also, you missed Barai showing up.
Well, Barai does show up too. I can't talk about everything at once. I have to split it up. Okay. Give me a second, bro.
Okay.
Jesus, dude. I know you're excited, but give me a second, man. I will get there. I promise. So, So the Rion like runs into this building and this girl is there and she's like, hi. She's like, and the girl's like, can you sing? She's like, what?
Awkward.
Look, we gotta go. And the girl's like, no, this is Hotel California. What? So anyway, in the meantime, Barai shows up in a flying sphere. Yeah, it's sort of like a metallic Santa Claus.
Like, did that come from?
This little sphere pulled by...
No, that doesn't have any prior appearances in Garo or anything.
No, I was like, what the hell is that?
I kind of had a hunch.
It's a magic spear.
That's the
spear
best sled chair ever.
Pulled by the demon dog.
It's the flight of the navigator.
That's something. Anyway, so he shows up, and he's like, because earlier in the season, he wakes up, and he's like, oh, they're all dead. Or something like that. If they fight them now, they'll lose, I think is what he said, which they were already. So they were already f***ed. But, yeah. So then things start to really go to shit, like very, very quickly here. Rion tries to like leave and she can't. The ribbon
she gets tentacle raped by the robes.
Yeah, Ryuga like freaks out because he doesn't know what the hell's happening to her. In the meantime, he gets like stuck on the ground and Tose is about to turn him into a horror, but Takeru jumps in the way and puts his hand out and gets stabbed in the hand with the seed.
So at first I'm like, oh my god, he's going to become a whore.
No.
Which would be amazing.
No,
he does the most awesome crazy thing.
Yeah.
It got into his hand and it went bad. So he swapped it off with the fist.
Into the sword and then like puts it down on the step and cuts it off.
Oh my god.
Which was like, oh my god, oh my god.
Tose's freak out and that is great too. He's like, oh my god, make him a whore, but now I can't. What the f*** did you just do?
Yeah, it was
so messed. He totally needs to get a chainsaw hand soon.
I know, that's going to be my next comment.
So,
and the best chainsaw part is Takeru insists that Garo destroy his cutoff hand so there's no other magic horrors.
Right, and so...
Okay, that'd be f***ed up your hand, become a f***ing...
So he'd run around the cabin.
Kira's yes. Laying there about bleeding to death, and Augury is like starting to help him.
It wouldn't surprise me if like people in Garo were fans of that, though.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Barai is trying to help out Rion, finds the little girl, and all that trippy stuff. He's about to get his ass beat and killed. So, Garo shows up in the middle of like his fight. His fight is now
without
happening
without a sword.
Yeah, without his sword, because his sword, he lost his sword, deflecting. And it flew all the way up into like the regular city, and like landed.
Isn't that like the building from episode one?
Yeah, I think so. And they landed on the marble floor of one of the other buildings, and So he's trying to fight, and so wackadoodle evil Makai Knight comes in, giant sort of owning, and is about to put Barai through. And Garo jumps in the middle of it and gets stabbed in the face.
And see, I thought, I was like, oh god, they're going to kill Barai. And then, no.
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 And then get stabbed in the face.
Oh, look. I mean, you know, it's like you think, it's like the thing with Takeru, you think that would be like the height of them going, what make you going, what the f*** in this episode?
Well, I thought when I watched the beginning of this fight, I'm like, someone is going to die here. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Somebody has to die. I thought
Takara gets stabbed. It's like, oh my god, they're gonna kill Takara. And like, no.
I really thought Takara was gonna die in this episode.
He does
I
seem like the obvious choice.
Yeah.
In the beginning of this episode, I think he's the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I but thought
his final bit comes in, and you could probably hear everyone's jaw drop at the same time.
And I thought. Yeah. I thought there would be a one-to-one. I thought the news reporter horror would probably get killed. I thought Augury would probably off her, and then Takara would probably get killed. I mean, I just had that like feeling like that's where this episode would end up. But no, Takara just gets maimed.
Brutally.
Yeah, he's going to be awful lonely till the flower shop girl comes of age.
Yeah, like he's going to fap, you know? He's going to have to
He's gonna learn how to become left-handed very quickly.
Lefty fapping.
That's your only option.
Sword of the face. And
the main character.
He's blinded. Blood coming from his eyes. And that's like where it ends. It's like, there you go.
Best cliffhanger ever.
It was just like, and that's why I said it was like, you watch Gar, you're just like, oh my god. it was a total holy shit episode.
For all three seasons, I think that is the single most surprising thing.
It was amazing.
At that moment, I'm like,
it's probably one of the best episodes of Toku I've ever seen.
It's like Garo's, you know, a darker show, but the heroes enjoy still a certain amount of plot armor. And then to see those two things happen is like, what the f-ing hell?
Yeah.
It's like the plot armor suddenly just wasn't there. Yeah.
Well, it's 99.9 second time limit ran out.
Fight scene seemed to go on for a long time.
I think they still haven't explained
the time limit to the audience.
Yeah, they're just kind of quietly ignoring that, it seems.
Yeah, I think so.
It seems to work for their benefit because this was a f***ing awesome fight scene.
Yeah. Also, there is the fact that, as we see in the next episode, it seems to be an undefined amount of time in the future. So things might have happened with the time limit and whatnot, is what I'm guessing. Conveniently.
So what's great about all this is that usually when bad things happen to the heroes, one person dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, no one dies. They just get horribly maimed left and right,
mm-hmm.
and there's no comeback victory for any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so running with your tail between your legs. In fact,
yeah.
Although we do have knowledge that the Makai knights and priests have various magical abilities, Deus Ex Machina. Is there a chance they could, you know, heal Takara and Ryuga by the end of the series?
I've never seen that amount of damage on a character in this show. So, let me say that amount of damage. Well, let me scratch that. There was Jobby.
Well, yeah.
I mean, obviously,
that was much worse than either Ryuga or Takara.
We can talk about it with Ryuga's in the next episode too, if you want. Because there's a few things we learn about.
Makai Knight without fear.
Yeah, God, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So,
am I taking the second episode, or?
I don't know. Nobody's really kind of focused on any of this so far. We're just all kind of chipping in.
Well, it was kind of a holy episode.
Well, you know.
On all points.
But I think Ken's right. This episode, more than anything in the past two series, is probably, you know, topped the charts for that.
I love to know how it was received in Japan.
That would be the question, wouldn't it?
It wasn't tropey enough. They didn't like it.
Well, it didn't have damsels in distress, so I mean, that must have been comforting for them.
And tentacles.
I will say that there's a dude at work that has talked to me about a couple of foreign films and stuff that he likes, and I told him, I was like, okay, there's this show Garo, and you have to watch it. I gave him the links and everything. I'm like, download this and watch it now.
Yeah.
You'll thank me.
So, with the next episode, Ryuga's in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's blind, as we pointed out. But even though he took a broadsword straight to the face, all he has is some, you know, minor bruising.
I'm wondering,
Jim, spread around his eyes.
I'm wondering if it's more of like the Garo armor. Like you said, the armor is kind of demonic, right?
Yeah, it probably absorbed majority of that.
Probably.
I'm wondering if it like if the armor itself, like if there's some sort of demonic essence or something that bled through, and like that's what's made him blind, because that could be an out too.
Well,
for
and
his
the,
blindness.
If they the, wanted to do that,
because his eyes aren't damaged.
I think more with Ryuga than Takeru, the damage could be undone within things established in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takeru is just going to have to become a lefty very fast, I think.
Well, and I mean, one thing I can see with Takeru is just like putting like an armored glove on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, magic Makai prosthetic.
Or, you know, I wonder, when he summons the armor, will that piece of the armor regenerate?
The gauntlet will be limp-wristed. It'll start hanging dangly.
I kind of wonder, like...
Gauntlet was cut off, too, so...
Yeah, it was, but I wonder if that... I wonder how it'll look when he summons it again.
See, this is one of the things with...
But will he summon it again?
This is one of the things with this series. There's not been situations before to know how to address some of what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. You know, you can easily recreate that on the Zen figure. Just, you know, yank off the hand. And there you go.
Yeah. Oh. Great.
It's cut at the exact right part too.
How toyetic. So even though Ryuga is blind and has no sword and is in jail, he's got Zaruba because before Barai made his escape with the little girl.
Good choice, Barai. Not creepy at all.
That sounds like something that would be very terrible to take out of context.
Sure does. So before Barai made his escape, he threw Zaruba at Ryuga, and I guess Zaruba's been hanging on by his teeth the whole time.
It's time for Kageyama to actually start earning his paycheck.
Yeah. But Ryuga is training in his jail cell, even while his jailer outside, the guard outside doing his taxes or whatever, saying, you know, there's no point in that. You're locked up. Why bother?
Now he'll just run into the bed and knock himself out eventually.
Almost.
I like the flashback to where Kosei was mocking him, and he's just like, you know, in his face, even though Ryuga can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And pointing at him, even though Ryuga can't tell. About how badly they lost, how badly they f***ed up. And he's just going to stick him in jail. It's like it's even worse than killing him.
Well, and there's probably a good reason for that, which will be established later in the episode. But, so as it turns out, Ryuga is practicing defensive moves because he plans to still fight somehow or other, mm-hmm. at least enough to get out. Zaruba is a little skeptical.
skeptical.
This episode makes me.
To be fair, I think the skepticism is justified a bit in this case.
Well, Zaruba has been skeptical of Ryuga since the first episode, when he wouldn't even talk to him.
When Zaruba got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this episode makes me remember how much I really do love Zaruba.
But, you know, at least we know the guard is a little bit more inept than a blind Ryuga. Because within moments of the episode starting, Ryuga's made his escape.
Yeah.
I love how the guard falls for the oldest trick in the book.
I know, it's great.
Where'd the prisoner go? I better open the door and find out.
God. There ought to be, like, a manual for that. Like, okay.
I've got to give credit.
There is one.
Yeah. I got to give credit to Ryu as actor, though. He does, like, look legitimately lost in every scene he's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Nekor clearly has not read the Evil Overlord list.
Clearly.
So Ryuga's sword has embedded itself in the floor of another building, and the Kaneshiro group is having it under heavy guard for now until somebody can draw it out of the floor.
He's whoever pulls a sword from the lobby.
Yeah.
there's also a little flashback in there with Ryuga and his mother. where we see that it's when he was a little kid, the armor was already, you know,
blackened. Yeah.
Yeah. So
but not it, as blackened as when he wears it.
So clearly, this is a long time after Koga was Garo.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Yeah. This sets some things in perspective.
I mean, even with one of the recent episodes, like within the last two or three, I was thinking, okay, maybe 10 years after the previous series, but it does seem quite a bit longer now.
Yeah, and because they speak of Garo like really in the past tense. Yeah. So, and you know, Kanashiro Group's technology is a little, you know, beyond what you would expect to see. So. Yeah.
Like with powered fisting.
Yeah, with the hard knuckle.
He gets a few of those on his way out.
He does.
He gets a little bit of everything on his way out.
Like, you know, rails.
How badly must it suck to be running and encounter stairs going down and not being able to tell?
Oh, God. That's horrifying, really.
But like, he's not completely in the dark, because apparently Ryuga is the daredevil, as Ken was alluding to.
Yes. But you know what I was thinking? It's like the show kind of set that up from the very beginning with his
hearing.
His listening thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of clever.
Layers.
Planning.
Like an onion.
Imagine that.
They're doing interesting things with their situations. What a concept.
It's almost like they knew things that would happen toward the end of the series when they started writing it.
Toy!
What a concept.
Yeah, this episode will air in 3 weeks.
And unlike Wizard, they decided to have things happen. Whether they knew they were going to happen or not, they decided to make them happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a gift set of... like, every time Ryuga ran into something in this episode, I know it sounds really terrible.
It was the funniest thing every time he ran into a wall.
Or a pole. He just, like, straight up just walked straight into poles.
Yeah, I know it's not supposed to be funny, but that is some straight up Three Stooges Looney Tunes shit right there.
I especially like when he, like, goes leaping off of shit and just hits something and then falls to the ground. I feel terrible laughing at it, but it's really funny.
Called Schadenfreude. It's okay.
The thing about it, too, though, is that it's like... it's kind of a realistic portrayal in a line of thinking.
Yeah.
Where he's trained his whole life to do these things. And, you know, having a certain reliance on sight to judge jumps and obstacles. Yeah.
See where walls are at.
Yeah. He didn't think he could do it just by instinct, but hey, guess what?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, somebody in that position, I could see the same thing happening.
Yeah, and speaking of his training, we actually get to see some of that.
Yeah, his, you know, like 15 years of training.
On an island with a demon dog.
Yeah, so apparently he was left alone on that island for 10 years with Rago as his only companion.
Speaking of
which, didn't eat him?
I finally figured out why Rago looks creepy. And it's because he has human arms and a dog body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to Garo Aesthetics.
Yep. They do that.
But
yeah.
One of the things I love about his blindness and stumbling around is even though we said at the beginning, oh, he's got the super hearing, it takes him a long time to adapt to it.
Oh, yeah. It's not like some shows where it's like, oh, I can hear things. Oh, I can just fight these guys. I'll fight these guys. Like, nope.
About 20 minutes of running face first into walls before he finally halfway gets it together.
Beating up civilians.
And he still keeps running into more walls on his way out.
He's like, oh, sorry, my bad.
That was the most pitiful thing, really. Because he was doing decently to subdue or at least, you know, push off the SG-1 troops, but then he punches the poor stooge in the face.
And it's like the actor does sell it, too, because he looks like really, you're like, oh, shit. I can't do this.
And Zarba's like, no, don't punch him.
Hey! No!
You really think where Zarba's going to become useful for him?
So while Ryuga's doing all this wacky misadventuring, Tose talks to Rian a little bit.
Yeah.
And basically, she's going to replace the little girl that Barai made off with.
It's already sounding creepy.
Yeah.
How bad is it that, like, Ryuga's most competent possible help right at this point is Augury?
Oh.
I realize that, like...
Well, no, because the other Rago is still around.
This is true. But I realized that when they were talking about, like, okay, Ryuga's going to be heading for a sword while Takara's freaking out, and Augury's the one keeping his cool. I'm like, oh, God, he is the one that is the most with it there. They are f***ed.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he had... He probably doesn't even have enough arrows to bundle together and jam into someone either.
Well, he's going to have to worry about more than that towards the end of the episode.
And actually, that's one thing we didn't mention. He broke his bow last episode.
At the end of the episode, Sanshi breaks his bow in half. I wonder if he can fix that.
Yeah, probably. I was kind of wondering that too.
But they do kind of make a point of it breaking.
I mean...
It wasn't just something that happened. It was specifically focused on. I was like,
Takeru lost a hand, and Takeru
thinks
he... No,
the bow happened at the end of this episode.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, they, oh, okay. Episode. Yeah, when he's fighting Sanshi.
So, Takeru lost a hand, and Takeru believes he can't be a knight anymore.
Uh-huh.
Augury's bow is broken, which probably means that, assuming it can be fixed, he can't transform until it's fixed.
I don't know, he could just slice both blades in the air on opposite sides and probably still work.
Well, we don't know that until he tries, and it's being Augury, really he probably silly. Does not have enough... He probably doesn't have enough imagination to do that.
This is very true.
And, you know, Ryuga is blind and goes most of the episode without his sword.
And Rihanna's now damsel in distress.
So basically, it's like none of the heroes have their powers available to them at the moment.
And, like, Bri is still f***ed up.
And probably will
and
be for a while longer.
Who seems to be that. The most together one right now.
But anyway, Tose wants to make Rian the mother of more of the magic horror seeds.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he had Ryuga put in the jail cell. Because wait long enough and he can still, you know, put his seed in him.
Yeah. He accidentally, you know, impregnated Takeru.
So,
can't misfire there.
He should have used some protection.
Been less time gloating. Who needs to read the Overlord's Manual now?
God.
Tose. We got a book for you. You were doing so well.
So, basically everything converges around Ryuga's sword. Sanshi can't even pull it out, but that's not really surprising either, because Garo's sword has to choose its holder.
Yep.
So we get more flashbacks. The flashbacks are interspersed through the whole episode of kind of like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. Except more in depth, just showing his progression to becoming Garo. But while Ryuga's trying to make his way there, he ends up in the tunnels under the city, and Zarbo's like, okay, if you go this way, you can cross the border and just get out of the city, and that seems like a really good idea right now. Let's just get out of here. It'll be fine. So
and for a minute, you can kind of agree with that point of view.
Certainly.
No pun intended this time.
Oh.
Nice.
Wow.
But no. Blind or not, Ryuga makes his way to the Celt building and ends up trying to go for his sword.
While Augury and Takeru is fighting off all these horrors.
Yeah. And, you know, the bow breaks. And...
Yeah.
And when the bow breaks, the cradle will fall.
So he finally does reach the sword and does his best He-Man impersonation.
I have the power!
Intro quote.
I was kind of almost expecting him to summon his armor and it just be gold.
Yeah, me too.
I was getting when he was holding that.
Well, yeah, the light was just shining down on him, though.
Light just kicked Sanshi's ass, but I guess we'll have to wait for that.
Yeah, more misdirection.
I think it's inevitable at this point.
Well, yeah, and I think part of that is shown at the end of this episode when Zaruba's willing to make a contract with him, finally.
Now that's something I need else relating from the Garo mythos, right?
Yep.
That some of us might need explaining.
It's just basically a contract that, you know, he'll help Ryuga however he can. Information, knowledge, fire.
Fire?
Fire!
So that's what Ryuga gets out of this contract?
And what is...
Zaruba has a lot of information.
What is the exchange? I didn't...
A day of Ryuga's life for a month of Zaruba's.
Yes.
Okay.
Which kind of makes me wonder...
what's been fueling Zaruba's life until now?
Right.
Right, probably. Wouldn't he have made like the same kind of contract?
Well, no, because then Zaruba probably couldn't contract with Ryuga automatically. Maybe he just had a lot in reserve.
Yeah.
Or is it more of like...
Koga died early. Oh, well.
Maybe it's more of like a day of your life for a month of my life services.
Or extension, maybe.
Yeah.
Or I will serve you for a month for one day of your life.
I think the wording could be read a couple different ways.
Probably. Yeah.
That could be a translation quirk.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny at the end of the episode, you see all the our heroes just kind of like hobbling off.
It's like they can barely stand.
Yeah,
it's like... Hero reaches out and tries to give him a hand.
Yeah, technically... Yeah. Like, technically they won in this episode, sort of, but it's kind of... It's like, well...
Hey, you won. Great. You're still
there's the yeah.
Yeah, and they said
it's
that.
It's not
like,
really.
Well,
I don't
we're
think...
really aren't we? Yep.
I don't really think they won. It's more that, hey, they're still alive.
Yeah. They won. They just didn't completely lose.
They didn't die yet.
Any battle you can walk away from.
Yeah. If you're still breathing, you're still
no matter
winning.
How slowly. Or painfully.
They're walking quite slowly.
No matter how many trees you hit on the way out.
But it looks like next episode is flashbacks again.
Well, there is a lot of backstory to fill in.
Yeah. But
your mom's got a lot of backstory.
Flashbacks
to fill
involving.
In.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Ryuga's mother and Sanshi. So.
And Burai uses his magic to age the new Makai priest past jailbait age.
Which is probably Ryuga's mother.
Probably. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, it kind of makes everything make sense. Because the first time he cut one of the magic horrors and the light hit him.
Oh,
and
crap.
He felt the
See,
pain
the flashbacks.
Of his mother.
Yep.
And also, he would have a genetic connection to them. Which might explain the pain he feels, at least. Now, it doesn't really address the armor color change, but, you know.
Well, that happened before, so.
I mean, the armor turning back to gold every time he cuts
them. Oh, that color change. Yes, gotcha.
Yeah. No, the other one's completely unexplained, and, you know.
Yeah, it's probably something it's obviously something between the last movie and whatever period of time they want to say this takes place after.
Yeah, maybe.
Of course, Hopefully. We're still waiting on that movie. Where the f*** is that movie coming out?
But did the last Garo, did his story end, or is it just left open-ended?
We don't know, because we haven't seen the movie.
I mean,
there's no summaries of it or anything? Or?
I have no idea.
I haven't seen anything in any detail.
No. Mm. All I know is Koga and Wonderland, and that's about it.
Fort Max?
I mean,
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, back to situation normal there.
Yeah, I was like, well, what little hope we had is gone.
It'd be funny if you said it's being worked on. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Stay on that.
It actually already came out, if I remember right, but then the question's just of, hey,
no,
when there's subs.
Sokoku no Mari. No, I don't think it comes out until next month.
Oh, okay.
And the Gaiden that with Jabi and
maybe that's what came out.
No, Jabi and Rekka, that Gaiden comes out next month. Also, they both come out on the same day.
Something came out.
Makai Senki Blu-ray box. No, I just see Makai Senki stuff before that. Nope. The Gaiden and the movie both come out on September 4th.
Maybe the rental came out.
Probably.
Well, I'm sure we'll get fans up to that eventually.
Yes.
Right after we stop caring.
Well, no.
No, they've been pretty timely on Garo stuff, actually.
Yeah, this is the second full series they've subbed, so...
Plus, they did do Red Requiem and Kiba Gaiden. Both are eh.
Well, Kiba Gaiden...
the first series.
Kiba is kind of worthless,
There are good subs of the first series, actually. That are not
Oh, yeah, Gomen Rider, right?
Yeah.
So, speaking of Gomen Rider, it's time again for the What If Weekly. And it's what if there was superhero time in 2001. Of course, if there was superhero time in 2001, we'd have very little to talk about, because that was before most of the fan subbing started.
Oh, shit, I knew I forgot to watch something.
You didn't watch Agito.
Oh, God.
I knew I forgot something.
Like, you didn't miss anything.
I know I'm forgetting something.
Yes, he did. He missed things.
Oops. Paladin, why don't you do this episode?
There's the
yeah, crap.
My favorite part of every podcast.
Whenever Paladin says, oh crap.
Uh-huh. So, I still haven't listened to last week's show. Did you have an oh crap moment then?
I'm sure.
The entire recording session.
That is the correct answer, thank you.
I might have missed it considering I was not there for majority. Yeah, so
it's okay, Ken. I'm saving power playback for you.
Oh, gee. That was such a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, I made sure to watch it right before I came on.
Well, that's good.
Okay, so if this thing loads, the first thing that happens is Shoichi recognizes that he actually got his memory back in the previous episode, but now he's got amnesia again. Because they have to stretch that out for another 20 episodes.
Wait, he got his memory back.
But then he lost it again.
Then he lost it again, yeah.
Oh, wait, way.
I was about to say, this is my no way, isn't it? Ah, f***. That sounds
And this is
right.
His best series.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Jetman.
I repeat.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
He didn't do all of Jetman.
No, he was the head writer there, and he's the head writer here.
It's his best writer series, at any rate.
Well, his other writer series are Fies and Kiva, so yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And half of Hibiki.
He also did that finale special movie for Ryuki, and it shows.
Yeah. The only thing I really know about Agito is that I really love the theme song.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And one of the inserts.
Which one?
Most of the music in this episode sounds like porn music, though.
Well,
they could have been doubling the sets. They didn't have that great budgets back then.
That's happened. Remember Forze?
The pool.
Yeah.
And probably the cheerleaders, too, now.
Probably the cheerleaders then.
Is that how they got on the show?
Probably.
Well, I don't know, was Sakamoto directing that episode?
Hey, it was a Sakamoto show. It's probably something he's watched. Oh, God, that's probably how they got the set.
Hey, guys, I know this great pool set we can use.
This is your backyard. Where are there all these cameras?
Like up in the corner where nobody can see them.
Right.
Anyway.
Anyway, Shoichi's girlfriend comes back and says she signed up for tennis club at school. Shoichi tries to learn tennis with her, but all he has to use is a frying pan.
She's not his girlfriend.
Again, anyway, it could be interpreted many ways.
But yeah, tennis with a frying pan.
That is the highlight of this entire episode. Tennis with a frying pan.
That would be the highlight of most episodes of most things.
But their tennis match is interrupted when Hikawa, the G3X operator, comes by and asks Mana to use her psychic mumbo-jumbo, whatever, to try and help with the unknown they're trying to capture. Who's already killed one veteran safecracker, and if they don't find the next one within 3 days, the statute of limitations on the crime will run out, so he'll never go to jail.
I love how the police here are like, we can do this thing where it's like, not only can we kind of protect this guy, but we can arrest him too. Arrest him? That's great!
And then put him to work on that big safe.
like they're not, they're almost not as excited about protecting him as they are about arresting him.
Well, now to be fair, they don't have the best track record at protecting people the unknown are targeting.
So they're not even worried about that.
Because, like, G3 is their system for fighting them, and for the whole first half of the series, it's completely useless.
Awesome.
Even with the chainsaw.
Crap. That was awesome.
Yeah, even the chainsaw is of no use. Anyway.
Anyway, G3X tries to play tennis, too, against the frying pan guy, and immediately gets hit in the head. But fortunately, I'm pretty sure his mullet protected him.
Did we skip ahead a lot?
What?
No, it's fine. It's not that important. This was awful anyway.
So eventually, I'm just trying to skip through this a little bit.
Noticed.
Because Agito takes forever to analyze and explain.
Haven't we always said that Agito is a bad series just pick one episode out of?
Yes. Although it is a great series overall if you want to try and marathon the shit.
Same as Kuga.
Well, Agito has the same problem most writer series do, which is that most episodes build on things from previous episodes, which makes this one pretty good because it's fairly self-contained.
Yeah. It's very, very serialized. But Kuga and Agito especially, I think.
Yeah.
Later years got a little bit better at that.
Yeah, I gotta say, though, I started watching this episode and somebody died in like the first like 3 minutes, and I was like,
"Ah, yes, older Heisei writers where everybody just kind of died left and right."
The effects are awful.
You haven't watched any Kuga yet.
The episode looks like it was shot on like a home camcorder.
You know,
you should do Kuga for What If Weekly then too.
Kuga's special effects are so bad that I almost love them for it.
Yeah,
because literally they actually showed how they did the special effects for the unknown. They just pretended like they were trying to recreate it later. But anyway, I'm jumping ahead. But
that Agito does not have is Kuga's Etch-A-Sketch.
Yes. Actually, I think it was a Magna Doodle, but...
But it was great to have, like, the beginning of this episode, and then a dude died, and you're just like, oh, no one has died in Wizard.
Except our interest.
Yeah. Our hope. What's funny is that Wizard is a series about hope, and all it's really done is destroy the hope of the audience.
It creates despair.
It has created despair in everyone that watches it.
Maybe the same way that Oz was like a commentary on capitalism. You know, maybe Wizard is just a subtle commentary on the hope and despair.
Yeah.
No, probably the Wizard movie at the end is going to be all the audience's despair, forming lots of new monsters everywhere for Wizard to fight.
Totally.
It'll break the fourth wall.
That's the scary part.
Mm. So in 3D, he just leaps out of the screen and starts kicking your ass.
Yep.
So after being humiliated in the doubles tennis match, G3 goes to his noodle bar and begins to eat like a Saiyan.
Totally. I was like, dude. He
wolves down this entire mountain of food.
No one's going to take your food, brah.
Well, he's depressed. He got beat with a frying pan.
I mean, it's not like most of them don't see the actor actually eating. It's like... play eating, but he's eating a lot of that, isn't it? It's really sped up.
Well, I'm sure they're cutting the spit.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. But...
or the vomiting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's how you shoot those scenes, though. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
You get this. You take a bite and then you spit it in a bucket. So there's the wonder of every food commercial you've ever watched gone.
Yep.
Also the fact that a lot of the food is not real food either.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Because most of it would melt under studio lights.
True. A lot of Crisco.
A lot of modeling clay.
Mm-hmm.
They use glue instead of milk.
Yep.
And semen.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Ken's unfazed. He's like, yeah, probably.
For more about fake semen, talk to Giga Beetle.
See what this show has done to me?
Yeah.
Beautiful,
guess,
isn't it?
I guess Giga would know all about that, wouldn't he?
Apparently. He's talked about it many times.
I seem to have missed this. How has he not talked about it on this show? Shit.
I don't know.
We have a new goal now.
We need to start working on new Giga Beetle challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But not right now, anyway.
So anyway, Hikawa uses Shoichi to fake the safecracker burglar guy into confessing, but then the real horror comes out and tries to kill him.
It's not a horror.
Horror?
It's a lot more effective than a horror.
Right, it's the unknown, right? Or unidentified.
Unknown
life form.
Right, Kuko is unidentified.
Yeah.
Just had it mixed up for a second. So Shoichi transforms into Agito, and G3X suit finally gets busted out, which is awesome.
See, that's one of the problems the show has, because a lot of times Shoichi's at home when he senses an unknown, and will have to drive on his motorcycle 20, 30 miles to get to where it's attacking someone. Meanwhile, G3 has to manually equip his armor from a trailer that has to drive to wherever he is and then drive to wherever the incident is. So there's got to be a lot of time compression going on, and after a while it gets a little hard to believe. And
of course, in this episode, he gets to use his awesome new chain gun.
And this week we don't see Gills at all, but that's probably because he's, you know, half dead or something from transforming.
He is.
Or something.
Gills kind of gets shit on during the course of Agito, I'm not going to lie.
And after.
I've heard that. Yeah. That chain, I'm watching it now, that chain gun is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's the
As
Cerberus, I think.
And Kamen Rider?
So, what I wanted to know is, how the heck did he not remember what the combination was?
Hikawa.
And that was like something that was completely unset up, and you know, so unless it was from somewhere, it just seemed like, what? Why do you, how did, what?
And, I mean, three buttons.
And it was like, it didn't even, it was basically only one of each of three, so it was like, well, that's not, you could guess that pretty, that's not very secure at all. You get
what
infinite
that,
guesses.
Combination?
Yeah, it doesn't lock you out of the system or anything.
Well, this is 2001. The security wasn't that sophisticated. It's a lot like JD's Twitter password.
You.
little hint for any wannabe Twitter hackers out there. JD's account is apparently really easy to target, so it's a good way to get into the whole, you know, account takeover thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's pretty much it for this Agito.
But, you know, Hikawa
does... Oh,
there's
Gills. He's drowning in the lake.
Hikawa does get the,
oh,
the kill shot on
the
unknown.
Too. Except it was a...
Yeah, Gills kind of gets f***ed over.
It's an Inway series, so a lot of people drown, too.
What's the deal with Gills, anyway?
I guess it's...
There's a, he gets a puppy at the end of the series. The novel that continues it, the puppy died shortly after.
God. Why is there not a meme of
a dog?
Seems like there should be a meme of a picture of Gills with horrible things that happened to him.
And the suit? What suit? It's bust. It doesn't. It fell apart.
Which is why only Exceed Gills appeared in Decade.
Like,
yep.
It said Moss got to it, or either Moss got to it, or it was water damage from a warehouse leak.
Jeez. But yeah, okay, so let's see. Yeah, Gills is floating in a river right now in this episode. a couple of episodes earlier, Shoichi was floating in the water, and that's when he got his memory back, temporarily. The whole...
Was he found in the water, too?
Well, the whole... Yeah, and the whole backstory of the series is about a cruise ship that gets caught in a storm out in the ocean. So that's sort of the same idea, too.
Noe has water fetish.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of it going around.
It's possible he was molested by a river as a child.
Show us on the doll where the river molested you. Oh.
Thank you, Fort Max.
An intro code now?
I think that would take too long, but
that's too bad because that's hilarious.
So why don't we go ahead and quickly run through power playback?
Okay.
No,
and get this over with because it's already late.
Okay. Oh wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, we did start like half an hour late because of technical problems.
Sure.
Because of you,
dead cow.
Well, it's not my fault. I don't have fancy robot dishes, okay?
You're listening to Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
Galactic Warriors, Gingaman.
Is this part I have to admit that I'm actually watching Ginga?
I would admit that to anyone.
Yeah, I was too.
First two episodes were okay. Third one was what the f***, this is directed horribly.
Yeah, third one was, well, I don't know what the f*** happened.
There was continuity issues really all over with people moving, being in completely different places between shots. At one point, one of the monster heads being on backwards.
Third episode was weird. The fourth episode I liked okay. This one I actually did like a good bit.
The fourth episode was like, the first half was like the third episode.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly got Gene Killer just, then the last part was Gene Killer killing everything.
Yes. Now, the thing with Ultraman, usually like, the budget will be comparable or even better than some of the Toei stuff.
And usually, the effects have almost always been better than Toei stuff from the same time.
Nowadays, Tsuburaya is not, well, they've had financial problems and lawsuits and whatnot. So, yeah, they're trying to get back. This is more them trying to get back on their feet after only doing movies for about 5 years.
I mean,
They did Neo Ultra Q.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, this and Neo Ultra Q, because that was earlier this year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they're actually using the toys.
that was great in one episode, though, where Valkyrian, he had Taro, and he was just twisting his waist.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, Koa's used the Zoo Ranger and Kaku Ranger and Mega Ranger translator. Has dubbed that Taro Tiny Talkie Taro.
Tiny Talkie Taro.
Which makes me think mostly of the Talkie Toaster more than anything.
But you know, in spite of just using the toy, I do love Taro in the series.
Yeah.
Being Taro is suffering.
It is! He's never going to be big again. It's like I feel like the last scene of the series should just be like him laying on the ground like, guys? Guys.
Hello?
Guys, anybody home? But no, this episode is episode 5, right?
Yes.
It starts with a little recap of how Hikaru found
these three things happened on the last four episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. And Taro wakes up to see Ichijoji Ken. I mean,
You were right.
No, okay, this, okay. Playing to type here, but okay, this kid is great at sports. He's gets great grades in school. He's an asshole. He is secretly an antagonist. His name is Itchy Joji, but he's not a Digimon character.
Sure, he's not.
No, instead, he is the pilot slash partner, whatever, of Jin Killer.
The only thing he's missing is a dead older brother.
Yeah.
Well, give it time. That could still be true.
Give it another.
Who is blowing the f*** out of Ultraman Ginga, whose color timer is going off.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah.
None of his fights have lasted this long before?
Nope.
Pretty much.
Well, and the timer, he doesn't have the timer when he's in, like, the...
Right, he only has the timer as Ginga, not when he's being the... not when he's turned into the kaiju of last week.
Yes. Yeah. Or the week before, or 3 weeks ago, but...
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's usually last week.
The kaiju form doesn't have a time limit, apparently, but the...
Yeah, because that's not an Ultraman.
Ultraman form does.
But they're weaker because they're not an Ultraman, so...
Right. But he has to start with them, apparently...
Seems to be that way, and then he always ends up summoning Ginga when he's already inside one of the Ultra Kaiju.
Okay, speak up. We can barely hear you.
Me?
Yeah.
Give me
the technology's failing again.
It is going again. Hold on, I can hear the static. 1 second.
So in the meantime,
testing. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how long it lasts.
I thought you sounded fine the whole time.
Oh, so anyway, where the hell was I? Color timer went off. Hikaru got his ass kicked.
And Taro's in a cage.
Yes, and Taro's in a birdcage. Ichijoji has some flashbacks, both for the girl he apparently seems to have the hots for, and his father, who seems to be an asshole.
Should I have dreams? Did I ever tell you needed them? Well, no, okay.
Oh,
that's all you got. All right.
A little discussion with Kyrian, who is just like, you know, I'll beat Ginga. Don't worry about it. It's cool. I got this. Right.
He doesn't got this.
Wow.
Then there's this other guy who looks like one of the foot soldiers from VR Troopers.
No, that's exactly who I'm talking about. meanwhile, Hikaru is talking with the girls about the fact that he can apparently only transform into Ginga for a limited amount of time, while his other friend, who is not yet in on the whole deal, comes in on them, who has already been kind of pissy towards Hikaru earlier, because the girl he likes seems to be all over him instead.
It's one
always
of those
a girl,
shows.
Isn't it?
So, is Inoue writing this?
No.
No one's falling into a river.
They understand each other perfectly well. And besides, the pool is empty.
Yes!
It's been drained since a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. Thankfully, there are no bodies of water around. Kenta heads out and mopes around until Valkyrian shows up. And it's like, hey, I got a deal for you. First one's free.
Yeah, really.
And he looks like he's humping a rubber dolphin at one point.
It's a strange country.
Yes. So Hikaru goes off looking for Kenta and instead finds Jin Killer just standing there. And he's like, bitch, come on.
That was great because it's like,
how did you not notice that?
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm just standing here waiting for you to live.
Randomly comes across a giant f***ing robot.
Just standing there.
Well, it's Japan. That can happen.
So if you could just live so we could fight and I could kick your ass, that would be great.
Instead, he turns into, I will forget what the name is again.
The monster from last week.
Fire, Kimura.
Kimurian.
Kimurian, yeah.
And uses its dimensional displacement abilities to transport itself by coming all over itself.
Oh, no. Yeah, he uses the... No. You're talking about the
that creepy motherfucker from the second episode.
The snorkels.
Yeah.
Monster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The one that in the third episode that they had the head on backwards for a bit.
Yeah. But, like, in the second episode when it was the monster of the week, that was a very creepy use of a very, like old design.
Yeah.
They managed, make it like really f-ing unsettling with its laugh.
And it's already pretty unsettling.
The darkness and its dick hanging off its head.
Yeah, it has a weird alien penis on its head, and yeah.
Yeah. So Hikaru finds Kenta inside Gene Killer, and then Gene Killer just kind of dematerializes.
Yeah.
And Kenta acts like a total dick then, more so than before. He was only kind of acting like half a dick before. Now he's like, you know, fully erect.
Now he's like dicks.
Yeah, he's like XB.
I'm much more of a dick than he was.
And he and Hikaru get bitching at each other. He, you know, basically tells the girls that they're shit. He slaps Hikaru with Dark Spark.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. Until finally, you know, Hikaru just basically knocks him on his ass. Which...
tend to work.
Yeah. Apparently so. They subscribe to that theory. The Dark Spark disappears, but the kaiju he was supposed to turn into didn't.
But, they have to fight for that one, because he's just like, give me that, bitch.
Because then Gene Killer shows up, and he's like, well, guess I can use this now. So he transforms into, which was it this time? Dragory.
Yeah.
The weird thing
with the fangs and flippers.
I do kind of like the aesthetic, like, clashing of, like, something that is as new as Gene Killer against something like this dragon. It is hilarious. But he tries and fails to fight Gene Killer. Well, he does knock him into a mountain. But gets knocked on his ass, finally transforms into Ginga. And, well... still doesn't do that well. He flies him out into space. They try to fight. But the timer starts going off as he's pulling Gene Killer back down then to Earth. And Taro's like, you know, dude, you should, like, go back. Because that's not going to end well. It's like, no, I'm cool. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Like, no, I'm totally beep, beep. Oh, damn it.
He's like, oh, f-. And, surprisingly, though, Gene Killer does save him from becoming a big splat on the floor.
That still should have killed him instantly by snapping his neck, but whatever.
No.
Because
Gene Killer was falling with him the entire time.
Yeah, his fist was moving at a relative speed, so yeah. It was actually not a fast, hard impact.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's the Superman principle. Don't worry about it.
Yep. So Itchy Joshi actually saved him, but meanwhile... the mystery villain, who is obviously not Itchy Joji, has a Ultraman Tika doll, which he uses. And then something blasts Gene Killer from behind, and it is a dark Ultraman Tika. And they're about to get f***ed.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that card I have has, like, a scene from the next episode, so... them fighting, so.
But yeah, so it doesn't have many episodes left until it goes on break, right?
There's only 11 episodes overall, I think.
Yeah, really? Yeah, but there's going to be a break, and then the remaining are going to air.
And there's like a couple of specials.
Yeah, the remainder are going to air in November, I think.
So, ultimately, it's going to be a 13-episode series?
Give or take, yeah.
Wow.
That's strange.
Yeah, because it's really kind of paced like it. Like a longer series, almost.
Yeah.
Like. Although I think in a longer series, Gene Killer would be a later addition.
I guess.
Because he's clearly gonna become the secondary protagonist.
It's still paced like it's a half year series, though.
At least, yeah.
And I think that's gonna bite them in the ass.
Probably.
Well, I've been wondering how they were gonna. Planning on cramming everything into only 13 episodes from the beginning, because like even before all the toy scans and everything, how we could turn into all the Ultra Kaiju and all of the Ultraman if he so chose, which has not been used. I don't think they're going to be using him turning into the Kaiju, though. I mean, the Ultraman themselves, just the Kaiju and Ginga.
Now, if you could do that, then Toro would be big again.
Yeah. Well, if he would try it, because in the first episode, he was like, hey, can you just like put that on my foot? No?
Oh. No, he tried, and nothing happened.
Yeah, I think he has to be.
He actually tried, and there was nothing.
That's why he's not big again.
Right.
That's why I think he's got to be in a kaiju to do that, at least.
But no, I do find Ginga enjoyable. It's just kind of a light series.
Of course, the best part of this is Spark Doll Theater.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
mostly light on budget.
Yeah, it's definitely light on budget, but it's light. It's fun to watch, and I do like having a protagonist in a kid show that is a kid and actually not really that annoying.
So what I want to know is, why is the main character camping out in a classroom?
In an abandoned school.
He's like the teenage version of AG.
No. He's not being AG. He's being Hibiki. instead of camping out outside, he's a wimp and doing it in a school.
He's camping out there is because nobody is charging them to film there. Clearly. But you know, even
that would kind of have to be it.
Yeah, even besides that, like Ginga is not your typical Ultraman show because there's not like this, you know, like a presence of a military organization or anything like that, which is usually a pretty significant thing in there. Is this thing on?
Yes.
Yeah. We were so amazed.
I can see that, apparently.
I'm amazed I'm watching this. Is really.
That was better than Wizard.
It is better than Wizard, but
hell.
Wizard.
Yeah. That does not take a lot, though.
It doesn't, but it is.
Maybe it explains why I'm watching this. So.
Well,
you're still watching Wizard.
Yep.
The reason you're watching it is because it went up on Overtime's website. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, since the remainder of the series is going to be kind of short, you want to throw it in as a new weekly?
Well, isn't there only one episode left before the break?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that'll make it easy to take care of, won't it?
Yeah, and, hey, if you want to.
When does it come back?
Like I said, I think it's
October.
Oh, just like Mega Force.
Yeah, it's
just pulling that out of my ass. But
oh, okay.
We'll go with October.
It's not an 8-month break.
Yeah.
Taro will be big again before Megaforce goes back on the air.
And
that's what I'm guessing.
Ginga is basically a part of another show. So it's...
Part of another show?
Yeah, well, it's Ultraman Redsiden. So
new Ultraman Redsiden.
Well, new Ultraman Redsiden. Because the first episode of Ginga was the second episode of that. So
this is confusing.
Ultraman Retsuden is here's an old episode of a Ultraman series.
Yeah, so that will fill out the time between, I guess, that probably episode 6 and 7, and then so forth.
So basically, they're airing old episodes,
and apparently they're still getting pretty good ratings.
Yep.
Hmm.
That's why there's a new Ultraman Retsuden.
Very weird.
Little bit.
I always knew Ultraman made no sense.
It does if you
want. It is kind of weird.
Ultraman is a little weird, yes. But I do like the things I've seen. For the most part. As long as it's not Gridman.
You take that back.
Baby Dan Dan?
Ultraman was terrible.
And Cyber Squad is still awesome.
Eh.
Maybe they should make a new Cyber Squad series out of Ginga.
Yeah, it's not like any of those guys are doing anything right now.
Yeah. You can probably get all the Lawrence Brothers now. For a shitty kid show.
Oh, but okay. Isn't Miss Starkey dead?
Yes.
So you do kind of lose that point.
And now we're all sad.
Sad turn bone.
Except for Ken, who's eating. Ken has no soul. All right, so
I was laughing at a blind man running into poles earlier, so
yeah, but you weren't eating while we were having a moment of silence for a dead person.
A Mackay Knight walked into a bar because he had no eyes to see it was right in front of him.
Damn.
All right, so we know what we're doing for Power Playback next week.
Mm-hmm. That's done.
A terrible episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to commemorate the anniversary.
So an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
But a terrible one.
So an episode.
And not the good terrible, like Best Man for the Job.
That was so great.
Don't vote for dummy.
Love that.
Oh, season two.
Late season two. That's the important part.
Yes.
The early part of season two was terrible.
Not good terrible, just terrible.
Yeah, just terrible.
So good old fashioned bad.
So what'd you say that was, Fort Max episode 41?
41.
Okay.
The first one made after the original Order of 40.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, Doomsday was 39 and 40, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. As it was.
So, yeah, go get that on your Netflix.
Yeah, the first three episodes after that were either... there was a clip... the clip show came later. But, yeah, these were all stuff that they either had already used or stuff that they didn't use the first time.
Right.
Do we have a what if for next week, too?
We'll skip that if we're going to do another Ginga episode.
So we have to watch Ginga instead?
Yes.
Man, I'm 6-1.
It'll all work out. Except for how it doesn't. So, anything else for this week?
Nah, I think that's wasted enough time.
Yes.
Good, good. All right. Well, that's our show. We'll be back. What did Ken just tweet? Ah, yes. Anyway, molested by a river. Very nice. That does deserve to be shared.
Isn't it?
So we'll be back next week with more river molestation.
Or not.
Don't forget to buy me a Gabber revolver.
Guess it depends on how Garo plays out.
The revolver depends how Garo plays out?
No, the river molestation. You never know. At this point.
Hmm. Well, what would an Inoue written episode of Garo be like?
Actually, there is one. Mackay Senki, the poker episode.
Oh.
The episode guest starring Kaiza.
So that's what it would be like.
Yep.
And it continues Inoue's trend of using actors from previous series he's done.
Yep. And if you want to know what a Kobayashi episode would be like, it'd be the episode with Jinno in it.
Well, that one was unsettling too.
Yes.
Okay, then. All my questions are now answered.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at Superhero_Time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
Am I to understand that now that you've gotten over the Kamen Rider Wizard stuff, you're wanting to collect Kyoryu your things now? Is that the situation we're addressing here?
Possibly. A little bit. It's more that I'm trying to encourage him to buy a Gabu revolver so he can do the dance and film it for us.
Okay, yes.
Because that would be the best thing ever.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
Yeah, I really want a Gabu revolver. Yeah, pretty much. Which one is the
17
fart
is the OV no battery.
Yeah, the Overraptor, I think.
Okay.
17. Right.
It is 17. Okay. Man, that does seem like a deal, Ben, doesn't it? $100 and the fart battery?
Yeah.
Can't you make fart noises on your own?
Well, but, yeah, I can make fart noises without even using my mouth.
Yeah, but then the fart noises wouldn't be coming from the gun. That's important.
I heard.
Yeah. best wife ever. Get her on loan. Anyway, so yeah. So if the audience would like to pitch in,
yeah,
and get me a Gad revolver, I so I'll, there you go. How about that? If the audience
we'll put together a Kickstarter so JD can bravely let one rip.
Yes.
The audience is willing to pitch in to buy
the Kickstarter rewards be.
I will do a YouTube video of me.
You get to not watch it.
Doing the dance, and I will put it on. I will, like I said,
okay,
YouTube.
Okay, the Kickstarter perks. I got this figured out already. We'll do it the same way Penny Arcade did theirs. Like, if you will transport yourself to, if you will provide your own transport to Oklahoma City, you can watch JD do this live in person.
Totally.
But we still want your money.
Watch while I record it.
I think one level needs to be Fort Max records a personal answering machine message for you.
Yes.
When you said Penny Arcade,
the song of your choice,
but you were going to go like pay to download podcasts or something.
But seriously, like I mean, this sounds completely stupid, but I mean,
no kidding.
I obviously don't have a ton of money, but if you would like to see a fat guy do the dance, if you will buy me a Gabba revolver, I will do the dance and put it on YouTube. I'll even learn it and teach it to you. And my wife will even teach it to me. She's a professional choreographer, actor.
Will you be in spandex when you do it?
Well, with JD, it's hard to tell the difference between spandex and regular fabric.
Yeah, I'll wear sweatpants for sure. So, and I'll wear black because Ian is like my favorite.
And if the pledges exceed a certain amount, JD will dress in a mini skirt and Sakamoto the whole thing up for you.
None of these are below my level of shame, so we have really not even hit my boundary yet. So
now I'll grant you, when it comes to JD, the mini part of mini skirt is pretty much theoretical, I guess.
I mean, well, let me put it this way. I refer to my fat roll as my large skirt, so, you know.
And I'm pretty sure you couldn't be mistaken for jailbait.
So.
It would be difficult.
It would be difficult.
The beard kind of hides the jailbaitiness.
Yeah, that's for sure. Boy, I don't know. We're going to just get money pouring in on this.
スーパーヒーロータイム次回もシャバドビー
止めてみろ。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.